Okay, we are in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Dalet Amud Aleph, about in the middle of the page, a little bit more than halfway down the page. We've discussed, there are five rabbis all together who hold that Yesh Eim Lamikra. We give predominance to the way we read the text versus the way the Masorah is, the way the text is written. And we mentioned Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz, a number of rabbis over there, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Akiva. We did three out of the five. Now there's two more to go. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, we have to prove that they hold Yesh Eim Lamikra. We give, what's going on? I just lost the place. Where there's precedence to the way we read the text. So let me just find the place over here. 1 second. Rabbi Shimon. Okay. So now we're up to Rabbi Shimon. What's the proof that he holds Yesh Eim Lamikra? Okay. Now, we're going to talk now about a sukkah. The question is, we know a standard sukkah should have four walls. But what is the minimum amount of a kosher sukkah? And to this, we're going to have, it's a machlokas. We see it's a machlokas. Reb Shimon, where do we see Reb Shimon? The tiny, we learn in our braisa the following. Shtayim kilchasam. Let's say you have two proper walls. One, two. Ushlishis, and the third wall, afilu tefach, even if it only goes out one fist length. According to him, that's kosher. That's the Tanakama's opinion. Okay, you don't have to have four complete walls. All right, two walls and a tefach. And how wide do the walls have to be? The two walls have to be seven tefach width. Okay, seven tefachim is not a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Look how wide. One wall this way, one wall the other way. Right, that's seven tefachim. That's not a lot. All right, and one tefach the other side. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, no, a little bigger than that. Shlosha kilchasim, three proper walls that are seven tefachim wide. Or are these, and the fourth wall, afilu tefach, that one can even be one tefach. So Reb Shimon requires an extra wall. Now remember, in all these machlokasim guys, the braisa, we just bring a braisa. Now the Gemara is assuming that this is the machlokas. Remember, every braisa we quoted so far just brought their opinions. And then the Gemara said, well, it must be dependent on this machlokas, is do we give primacy to how we read the pasuk, to give primacy the way it's written. And then we're going to do it again over here. Gemara now is making the assumption, or rather it was, who was this, the original rabbi? Reb Yitzchak Bar Yossi Amar Reb Yochanan. All right? So he's suggesting that all these five are like that. So, B'mai Kamifugi, what does this machlokas depend on? Well, we're going to say like that. He's going to say, Rabbanan Safri, must be the rabbis hold, Yesh Eim Limasoras. We give priority to the way the words are actually written in the text. Reb Shimon Sovar, Yeshem Limrika, we would give priority to how we read the text. So now he's going to explain how. Rabbanan Savri, Yeshem Limasoras, we go with the way the text is written. So now the Torah writes the word Sukkos, three times. And look carefully, it's going to show you how they are written. It says, Basukos, missing a vav. Basukos, with a vav. Okay? So now, let's look at the entire text below, as you have the entire thing. Torah says, Basukos teshvu shevis yamim. You will sit in a sukkah 7 days. Kola ezrach b'Yisrael, every citizen of Jewish people, Yeshu will sit basukos in sukkos. Okay, that's obviously, that second time is extra, of course. Why do you have to say a second time? Yeshvu basukos. Anyway, Laman Yedu, so they should know, Doroseichem, their generations, ki basukos, in sukos, Hoshavtis b'nei Yisrael, but the Tzias HaMitzrayim, I kept the Jews living in the Sukkot HaMitzrayim. Really, you only have to mention one time Sukkos. It says, Basukos Teisha Shivas Yamim. Why? And that's it. So you should know that Hashem had you sit in those things. You know, so it says three times the word Sukkos. Okay, the first two times without a Vav, the second time with a Vav.
Your own, though.
No, let's take a look at the third one, Steve. Right here. Look right at the note. Ki Basukos. There's a Vav there. Got that? Without a Vav, without a Vav. Now, the way you read it, Sukkos, how do you translate in English? Sukkos. A minimum Sukkos is two. Something two. Now, obviously, you're not going to live in two Sukkos. Right? But it says three times the plural world, Basukos. Right? It should have really said, you know, Basukka, Teshev. You know, why do you got to say Sukkos? Anyway, so each one is a plural, isn't it? So, Sukkos is two. Sukkos is two. Sukkos is two. That would be six. That would be six. But he looks at the way Yesh Eim L'Masur, the way the word it is written. Well, if it's written defectively, that means it's taking one away. So the first time it says Sukkos, it's defective. So then it's not going to explain. Hare Khan. So we now have a total of four. Okay? Now, what do you mean four? Well, Sukkos without a Vav takes away one. Right? Sukkos without a Vav, take away one, you got another one. It's two. Sukkos with the Vav is two. So you have four in total. Well, now, how are we going to look at this? Well, Dal Chad Kra Lugufe. Take one out, because we need that one to introduce the law. Just like we learned about a week ago, remember he said, if the first time you mention something, it doesn't mean we count it, because you have to mention it all. So take one out to teach us the whole concept you have to be in a Sukkah. So what are we left with? Pashu laho, we have leftover plus. You have three. Right? Now, they all agree. There's a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai over here. There's a law that Hashem said to Moshe orally. That we're supposed to understand that not all the walls have to be complete. One wall can be only a tefach. That's a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. There's something to discuss. That was the transmission. That was like this. That Hashem told Moshe, one of the walls only has to be a tefach. Well, how many walls do I need? Well, I have only three walls because we have Sukkos, defective ones. First time, we take it out. Second time, it's defective. It's only one. Second time, it's two. So it's three. Three walls. Torah's hinting, since these are extra words, to something. So tell me how many walls I need. So you need three walls. But there is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai coming up now. Asai Hilchasa, the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai comes along and Gira'asa and reduces Lishlishis, the third wall, for Ukimta, and sets it up as a tefach. So therefore you see how we have over here that since Rav Shimon holds Yesh Eim L'Mikra, therefore you only need two walls and a tefach. Now let's take a look. This is a Gemara in Erevin. Look at the note. As taught in Erevin, there is an oral law taught to Moses at Sinai which states that one of the sukkah's required walls need not contain a full width, but only the width of a tevach. See the rabbi. Since the rabbis see three walls indicating the Torah, they conclude that two walls must be a full seven tevachim wide, and the third, reduced by the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, need only be a tevach. That is, I'm sorry, that was the Chachamim. That was the Chachamim who say, we look at the way the text is written. Missing a vav. The first one doesn't matter, missing or not, we don't count the first one. That's to teach us the topic. Second one's missing a vav, so that's only one. Second one has a vav, that's two, that's three. Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai reduces one of the required walls to a tefach. So for the Chachamim say, two and a tefach. Reb Shimon Sofer, no, he's going to hold Yesh Eim La Mikra. We're going to go with the priorities how we read it. How do we read it? Even though it's missing vows, but how do we read it? Basukos. We read them as plurals. They're all, Sukkos is a plural regardless how it's written. Two, two, and two. Wait a minute, how many do we have then? Harei Kan Shesh, we have six. Okay, not a problem. Dal Chad Krolge, take the first one out because we need it for himself. So what are we left with? Pasha Luhu Arba. We only have four left. Now, they all agree that there's a Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that one of the required walls is reduced from a full seventh tefachim to one tefach. But now we already have four walls in play. So asoy hilchasa, let halacha come, garata, and diminish it, l'revis, to the fourth wall, v'ukmeh tefach, and remain with a tefach for that. So therefore, since according to Reb Shimon, he learns we go with the way we read the text, and the text says we need four walls, so halacha mishmish Sinai reduces the fourth wall to a tefach. Reb Shimon, the Chachamim, on the other hand, they disagree and say, yesh eim la mesoras. We go with what the mesorah of how the text is written. Since the text is defective in one of the words sukkos, I have one less wall to begin with. I'm down to three, and therefore we have that one is reduced to that. So that's another example. This is the fourth example. Reb Shimon holds, yesh eim la mikra. La mikra. We go by the way you read it. And that's why he held we had three walls plus a tefach. Good?
And all of them don't say in Darshin Chilat because they took away the first one.
Well, we'd have to go back to all the way that we work it out. But yeah, so some do and some don't. Remember, some machlok. We have to go back at each one and see which one. But these ones, clearly, these two don't learn the beginning as their own thing, right? We said that might have been a machlokas or not a machlokas. At the end, we said it doesn't have to be a machlokas when we had it before, right?
Okay.
So that it was see most who aren't Torah Tchilas. Now we have to come to number
At Sinai, Moshe said that one of the walls could be just that. It doesn't mean that it has to.
No. Minimum requirement.
Minimum requirement.
It's so okay. It's okay if it's a hand breadth.
Yeah, it could be that, but it doesn't matter.
No, you could have four perfect walls. Would be amazing. But we're looking at what the minimum is. Always look at the minimums. You have to start from the minimum.
I'm talking about the size of one of the walls.
Yeah, so we have that's also the shurim, right? So the minimum has to be two walls and one small one.
The minimum could be bigger.
Up to a certain point.
Yeah.
It can't be too big.
No.
But so that's the law. But certainly you could have more. We're looking at the minimum, and we know the famous drasha. We paskin like who? We paskin like the Chachamim, I believe. Let's take a look. Yes, we paskin like the Chachamim. Two walls and a little, which the Hasidic masters learned that to be what? Is a hug. A hug. When you hug somebody, you have one wall, another wall, and a tefach. See, look. That's a hug. That's not a joke. So that's the whole idea with sukkah. So it shows Hashem's love for us. What?
If you hug only with one hand.
Well, that's how you usually hug. You hug with one hand. Your body, your arm.
Yeah. Use both hands.
That's a minimum hug.
Okay. A minimalistic hug.
Okay.
With only two corners.
Why not? Do it across. It's a triangle, of course.
So you only have
a stuff. Or, yeah. Or, you know, a clever person could figure a way to have. If you got it sturdy. But yeah, it's more of a triangle. Correct. Okay, the fifth and final issue is going to talk about tumah. We have to be careful. We know that a dead body gives off tumah. We also will learn that a revi'is of blood, 4 ounces of blood that comes out of a dead body, also gives tumah. The question we're going to come now to the machlokas is, what if two dead bodies in combination, each dead body gives off a half a revi'is of blood, and between the two separate bodies, you get one revi'is of blood. Will that revi'is of blood be considered enough to give off tumah or not? Do we say it's got to be one revi'is from one body exclusively, or it could be even two bodies that share in giving the revi'is? This is the machlokas that's coming up, in which we're going to have to see this machlokas. Rabbi Akiva, how do we see Rabbi Akiva that holds yesh eim lamikra? We go with the way we read the pasuk. The Tanya, we learn in a brisa again. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says, how do we know minayin the revi'is dam sheyotzo mishnei mason, that when one revi'is of blood in combination that is emitted from two dead bodies, shemetame ba'ohel, it gives off tumah in a house. We know that if you are in the same room, if God forbid there be a dead body in this room, even though I'm not touching it, everybody in the room becomes tumah. Now, there's another halacha, if there's a revi'is of blood from the dead body in the room. It makes everybody tummy. Now the question is, yes, but there's still blood. Now what if there's a revise, but it's from two separate bodies? How do you know that also gives off tumah? This is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Shenemar, when it talks about tumah, it says, I'll call nafshos meis lo yavo. That it says that a kohen shall not approach any dead persons. Talking about the kohen gadol, who cannot contract tumah from the dead, even if it's one of his close relatives. He cannot be talking to anybody. So the way it's worded is, nafshos hameis. Any dead nafshos, persons, in the plural. In the plural. So, and that's the way you read it. Right? Now it could have said, I'll call nefesh meis. One. What did I have to do? Why is that a two? He could have said, he may not approach any dead person. What do you mean, plural? What do you mean plural for? One's also enough to make your tummy, right? But the wording is plural. So why did the Torah say plural? Oh, to tell you that what? That even if shtei nefashos, two dead bodies that create vishir echad, one measure of blood to make your tummy, will also make your tummy because it says nafshos in the plural. Let's look at the commentary. The words nafshos meis, which we have translated as dead persons, is really not an accurate translation. Because look at, literally, it's nafshos, souls of, nefesh is a soul, souls of a dead person. Now, a dead person doesn't have two souls. That's the way God wrote it, though. Obviously, it's meant to teach us something. So the word nefesh, soul, is something that's a reference to blood. It says, ki hadam hu hanefesh, for the blood is the soul. They're interchangeable. The word blood and soul are interchangeable. Thus, nafshos, souls, plural, refer to the blood of two different people, whereas mace, dead person, would indicate the amount that is critical for sustaining the life of a single person. Gemara says you have to have at least a revise of blood in a body for a person to be alive. I find that fascinating because I think you'd need much more than that.
Yes.
A regular person has, what, 5 pints of blood?
Of course.
How many ounces in a pint?
12 ounces.
Sure. Yeah. Who wears your computer? No. I don't know. It's a.
Pint?
You have a pint and a quart. A quart is 32. I think it might be 16 ounces. Give a kick. Give a kick. Oh, you don't know? Okay, forget it. Anyway, but this is a little. A revise
is more than that.
A revise is just 4 ounces. Anyway, but that's what it's saying. So therefore, what are we saying? The indication then is that a kohen gadol may not contract tumah from blood that derives from nafshos, two corpses, the amounts of a mace of one person's minimal amount, the amount whose loss would cause the death of a single person. Sama Chazal is saying, if you only have 4 ounces of blood in your body, you'd still be alive. Barely. Barely. All right, I don't know. We'll have to check medically. It would seem pretty wild. I mean, that's, you know, almost have no blood.
Yeah.
Almost have no blood. But anyway, but that's the point. That's what nafshos makes. That souls, meaning two human beings combined, enough blood of a mace that if you'd miss that amount, you'd be dead. And that would be less, have less than revis. So that's how he learns it. From the plurality of nafshos, souls of. And that's the way you read the pasuk. Good. Rabbanan agreed to essentially the idea, but you have to look how the word nafshos is written. Rabbanan, they say nafshos. Now look at the foot, the nafshos. See, there's no vav in nafshos. See that? They say nafshos ksiv. It's only written nafshos without a vav. And whenever it's missing a vav, that means it reduces to a singular. So even though it's read souls of, but it's written one soul. So the rabbis agree that a revis of blood transmits tumah even through roof association, but only if the entire revis measure issues from a single corpse. That's the idea. The single corpse is enough. Here, I have one here. Thank you, Sam. I have a tissue here. Okay, so that's enough, because it's nafshos is reducing one. The rabbis assign primacy to the written form of the word. Since the word is spelled defectively, it is to be expounded as if it were singular. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, assigns primacy to the pronounced form of the word and therefore expounds it as a regular plural. So now we've done all five cases. So now you think we'll be done. Now the Gemara is going to mention one thing that turns the whole thing on its head. We're going to have two somersaults in this sugya. Somersault number one is coming right now. I'm going to say, so right now, it's pretty well assumed based on the, remember, this was an opening line at the top of the page. Amen. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, these five rabbis hold Yesh Eim LaMikra, that we give primacy to the way it's read. And it seems to say there's a machlokas. There's five who disagree. And there's five who hold this way. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. The whole thing's thrown on its upside down. Maskivla Rav Yaakov bar Yaakov has a whole question of Yitzchak bar Yosef, whole supposition. He says, is it possible Delay, that there's somebody who doesn't hold Yesh Eim LaMikra, we go with the way that it is written, all right? In other words, that does not hold, we go by the way it's pronounced. Now, remember, he said there's five people who say so, but there's others who argue. He's saying, how could you even have a machlokas? Everybody has to hold, we go by the way it's pronounced. And he's going to prove it from a brisa. Now the point he's going to bring from a brisa, he's going to bring a brisa that can only be understood if you say Yesh Eim LaMikra. And I guess the assumption is everybody holds of this brisa. So if everybody holds of this brisa, what about all the people who argue and say Yesh Eim LaMasoris? That's what he's going to do. Remember, brisa is an early source. And the brisa can only be understood if you hold Yesh Eim LaMikra. And there seems to be no one arguing on that point. Now, if you have a whole bunch, if you brought down five machlokasim, that means there's obviously five people who disagree with this idea. Yet, we're going to show you in a minute a brisa that can only be understood as Yesh Eim LaMikra. We go with the way it's read, not with the way it's written. So how can you say there's any machlokasim at all? For Hatanya, we have a brisa that says the following. Now, the Torah says you may not cook a baby goat in its mother's milk. It says it three times in the Torah. Three times. Why? One time to say you can't cook it. One time to say you can't eat it if it's been cooked. And one to say you can't derive pleasure from it if it's been cooked. That's why it says three times in the Torah. Now, the problem is the word for milk. What's the word for milk in Hebrew? Does anybody know? Chalav. As you get Chalav Yisrael. Chalav. Ches, Lamed, Ves. Chalav is milk. Now, the same three letters can say another word with different dots. Chalev. Chalev means prohibited fats that are in an animal. Same three letters written in the Torah, you wouldn't know what it is. Is it chalev or chalav? Big difference if it's milk or fat. All right? Does the Torah say you can't cook a baby goat in its mother's milk? Or you can't cook a baby goat in its mother's prohibited fat? Would make a big difference in terms of halacha. That would make a huge difference. So this is where we're getting to yet. Vahatanya, we learn in a brisa. The brisa says the following. We know that the tradition is this is how we read the pasuk. We read it it says bechalev imo, bechalev, not chalev. Now I have to tell you one more other thing. Chalav is milk. Now when you have when you have two pronouns together, or it's connected, chalav means milk. But how about mother's milk, where there's an ownership of the milk, or possessive pronoun. I think it's possessive pronoun, whatever. So it changes. You can't say chalav is milk by itself. Like, I drink milk. Ani shoteh chalav. But when the milk is associated with an object, an object is associated with something, the dots change. So the say mother's milk. That's the way the Hebrew grammar works. In English, it doesn't work this way at all. The milk is milk always. You never change mother's milk, father's milk, 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 milk. You can't make another word. but in Hebrew, it's not so. Milk, mother's milk is chalev. See the way the dots are right there? See, chalev. See that? Ba chalev. So it's not going to say chalev anyway, because that would not be the correct word for milk. When it's mother's milk is chalev. Got that? So it says you should not, meat should not be cooked in its mother's milk. Okay? This is the first time it appears in Torah, chalev. Now, wait a minute. But without, the Torah doesn't have any dots. How could I have written this pasuk? Yochel, I might think it could have been written bechalev, emo, in its mother's fat. Same letters. I don't even have to change any letters. It's just a couple dots. What now? Bach, look at the notes. Bachalev means in the milk of. Bechalev means in the fat of. Although the received reading of the word, the way Moshe taught it to us, was bachalev, in the milk of. The unvowelized text of the verse could be read bechalev, in the fat of. How then is it known from the written Torah itself that the word is prohibiting cooking meat with milk? Perhaps the Torah is prohibiting cooking meat with fat. But cooking meat with milk is permitted. Right? How would we know? Unless what? Next page, going to 4b, Dalet Amid Beis. Amrat, you gotta say, Yesh Eim Lamikra. That primacy is assigned to the way that the word is pronounced, not by the way it's written. Because written could go any way. It's a little bit different than we've been using this, applying that. Be careful, because Gorn's going to come back to knock this off. So be careful. This is a bit different than the way we've been applying it till now. Till now, we've been looking at, well, we know the way we pronounce it. Let's say sukkos. It's pronounced sukkos. It means many sukkos. We say, yeah, but there's a letter missing. So now we look at the way it's written. Written is singular. So now we know. Hashem told Moshe how we read the pasuk. We're not having any question here. It's to be written chalev. Clear. Chalev. It's to be written chalev. But then the question, to be read. We say the word, you see, ches, lamed, ves. Read it chalev, the milk of. Read it as chalev. But if you look at the letters, the letters could be read chalev. So why are we going with one over the other? The answer is we go with the way we've been told to pronounce the word, and we ignore the way it is written, even though it could be written, could make us pronounce it differently. Thus, it is explicit in Scripture that it is prohibited to cook milk, not fat, with meat. Now, there's not one Jew on the planet who argues with this law. Is there? Is anybody who says, no, you could have milk. You could have milk and meat. Nobody disagrees. It's not one of these, like, you know, far-fetched laws. No, 3 zrikas of blood, 2 zrikas of blood. You know, maybe we'll have mama. Nobody disagrees. You cannot have meat with milk. And nobody says there's a prohibition of cooking meat in the fat of a mother. Right? If everyone agrees it. And since everyone must expect, you can't say, well, this is a price and people argue on it. You know, if let's say people argue, okay, you're going to say, well, the other side disagree with the price. You can't disagree with this price, because this price is saying that you can't have milk and meat. Everybody holds you can't have milk and meat. It follows that everyone must hold that primacy is assigned to the pronounced form. Let's look at the notes. Otherwise, how would one know from Scripture that it's forbidden to cook meat with milk? You got that? In other words, God gave us the Torah with two things. He first told Moshe every word how to pronounce it. He said, doesn't matter even the way the letters are written. I'm telling you, this is how we pronounce the word. We pronounce the word sukkos, right? Even though it's missing a vav, and I could have pronounced it Sukkos. Because you're pronouncing it Sukkos, and that's all. Yeah, but it doesn't have, I'm telling you this how you pronounce it. Finished. So, we go with the primacy of the way Hashem said to read it. Ah, but the... So, but we were up to them saying, yeah, it's a machlokas. Maybe we give primacy to the way the letters are written as opposed to the way we read it. That was the machlokas. We said there was a machlokas. But here, you can't say there's a machlokas because you have no way of knowing what the letters ches, lamed, veis mean. You have no way of knowing unless God tells you. So God told Moshe, read it, chalev. And therefore it means milk. Aye, but if I look at the way it's written, I could read it another way. Forget it. We don't do that. Now, once we've done this, now if we would say there is a machlokas, do we give primacy to the way it's read or the way it's written, then there should be a machlokas if you can have meat and milk together. Shouldn't there be? But since there is no machlokas about milk, must be everybody says primacy goes to the way it is read and not the way it's written. So the whole idea of the rabbi on the top of the page who said this, five opinions hold this way, and as many who argue, it seems to be totally and absolutely contradicted. So we've turned it all upside down. Now, what do we have to do now? Now, because of that, this now, what are we going to be forced to do now? The other rabbi said there were five machlokasim. And the Brises, when the machlokas brought, just said this one says this one says that. That none of the places, the root source said what it depended on if you treat the reading or the text as primary. It didn't say. This rabbi said, that's how I would understand these five arguments. You understand? The last two cases we did today, it just says a halacha. Four walls and one could be a tefach, three walls. That's all they said. Then the rabbi said, I know it. It depends on do you look at the text being the main thing or the reading. That's why he understood the machlokas. Five times he did it that way. But now that we say, there can't be a machlokas in it. Everybody goes with the way you read it, not the way the text is there. So now what must we do? We have to go over all five arguments and not reverse it. Find a new reason why there's a machlokas. Do you understand? Because we have five arguments. Way back to Rebbe, Yarshiun. That's got us into this. They will make you guilty. Remember, Yarshiun, with a vav, without a vav. Do you need five witnesses, three witnesses? Oh, that depends. Do you say that the reading is primary? Is the text primary? And once we got into that, we got into the other four. So now we said, and so the rabbi said, listen, all these arguments depend on do you hold that the reading is primary or if the text is primary? Well, now that we said, what are you talking about? There can't be a machlokas at all about this. Everybody has to hold that the reading is primary, else how could you have meat and milk? How could you not have meat and milk? So now we're now obliged, and this we're going to start tomorrow, we have to go over all five arguments and learn them that the difference is not depending on how you read it or how it's written, but we have to find other ways to find the machlokas. And that's where we're up to today, gentlemen.